Good morning, church family. Hopefully, as you were coming in today, you were able to grab a bulletin. As always, there's lots of information that's in there, but that's not always the complete information. This is just kind of a glimpse to get you started on things. As always, we encourage you to go to our church website, grahamstreetchurch.com. You can get there even by just scanning some of the QR codes that are in the bulletin. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. We try to keep current events and things that are going on posted on the website and on Facebook. So great resources that we have there. I want to remind everybody about this Wednesday night, our next session of Living Faith. This Wednesday, we'll focus on service. So Wednesday, 6 p.m. over in the Family Center is where we'll meet. And then we will get to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're going to take care of some service projects, things that need to be done, whether it's right here at the church, or if we're going out to some of our members' homes or getting to do different things in the community. We really need your help to be there so that we know when we make some promises to people that we'll get some things done, that we know we'll have people there to do that. So we'll start out together at 6 o'clock at the Family Center on Wednesday, and then we'll disperse from there to go and take care of those things. So come be a part of Living Faith on this Wednesday. As always, don't forget about grahamstreetyouth.org. It's summer, so we've got lots of activities going on for the youth group, so I encourage you to be checking that out. A few things I want to remind you of. The youth group is inviting you, so it's not just for us, it's for everybody, to go to a Rangers game on Monday, July 5th. Today's your last chance if you want to reserve tickets for that. So if you want, there's sheets in the back in the foyer that you can scan that'll take you straight to the sign-up. You can get your phone out right now, and you can scan that QR code from up here on the screen. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that as we get to go out and enjoy that game together as a church family. Also, today, for those that are planning on going to Abilene on our service trip, your paperwork needs to be turned in today. So at any point today, you can get that to me, or at least contact me to let me know that you're working on the paperwork so that you can get that turned in as soon as possible. We'll be heading out on that trip next Sunday afternoon. So make sure you grab that paperwork if you need to. There are some on the Welcome Center desk in the back in the foyer. Also, camp applications. You need to get those in as soon as possible. So you may have seen that there's different waves of when you can get those turned in, but just get those turned in to me as soon as you can, and we'll take it from there. Love for you guys to be a part of that this summer as well. Tonight, we're having a movie night for the Graham Street Youth Group across the street in the Family Center at 7 p.m., so I'd love for the kiddos to show up and be there for that. We'll have snacks provided, but we do want you to bring some comfy chairs, pillows, blankets, whatever it is you want to do. Otherwise, you can pull up a chair that's over there or just sit on the floor, however you want to. But we'd love for you to come over at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll do movie night together as a youth group. This Tuesday, we'll have our Tuesday night Devo at the Copelands. So it's been a fun time getting to do this as we are putting the spotlight on the leadership of our church and helping our youth group get to know them a little bit better. So we'd love for you guys to come out Tuesday night, 6:30 at the Copelands. If anybody needs a ride, please let me know. I'll make sure you get there. This Thursday is our girls' night. Now, if you've seen in the bulletin, there was a mistake in that. This is actually for girls 5th through 12th grade. So any of our youth group age girls, 5th through 12th grade, Thursday, 5:30, out at the Copelands. Again, we're doing double Copeland stuff this week, so we'd love for our girls to go out there. If you have questions about it, contact my wife, Nicole. She would love to have you come, but it'll be a great chance. You'll have dinner and devotional, and you'll also get to do some pottery together. So it'll be a great chance for you to be out there for girls' night, Thursday, 5:30, for all of our youth group age girls. Want to wish congratulations on an amazing and historic season to our Yellow Jackets baseball team, especially to Reese Elston and Corbin Poston. We're really proud of them. We know it didn't end how we were hoping for, but they have a lot to be proud of. We're really proud of those two guys and all the work that they put in this season. So as we get started this morning, we have a chance to be together, to worship together, but we also just have this chance to kind of relax. Sometimes we just get so busy during the week, and I think this is a great chance for us to come together and for us to be energized so that we can go out into the week and we can do the things that we need to do as a church. So this morning, we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you are our God, that you have called us your sons and daughters. Father, we ask that during this time we have to be joined together today, that we can hear you, that we can know you in this place. Father, thank you for this church that has come together, united as one. Father, may we be unified in spirit and in truth. Father, as we sing to you today, may we do so with open hearts. We love you and we thank you for being our God. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
If you would stand as we begin singing this morning. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness be restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple. Days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. Still we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. If you would, please be seated. God, thank you for the blessings we have that we take for granted every day, Lord, for good people in our life and our chance to be a light to others, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to this earth and what he taught us and what he means to this earth and to your kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen. Sorry to do this to you, but if you'll stand one more time for this song. There's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come? When I see my gracious Savior face to face when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise up, rise up, and bow down, lay my crown at his wounded feet. There's a stirring deep within me. Could it when I see my gracious Savior face to face when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. I will rise up, and bow down, lay my crown at his wounded feet. I will rise. Stirring deep within me. If you would be seated, this will be our song before communion this morning. A common love. for each other a common gift. To the Savior a common bond, holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word. A common love for each other, common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, common joy in the truth of God's word.
Please pray with me. God, we come before you now as we pause in our worship and we take a moment to reflect on who you are, all you've done, and the things that we have to be thankful for. God, we take this moment to recognize that we are in no way perfect, that we need a Savior, and we thank you for giving that to us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't do anything to earn it, and allowing us a way to still be made perfect because of Jesus and through his blood that was sacrificed on the cross. God, as we think about how much you must love us to have done all of that, and how much Jesus loves us to have given himself, God, we also want to think about how we can show that love, how we can reflect that in our relationships, in our community, in our families, here among each other. And so, God, we don't only take this moment to thank you, but we also take this moment to think about how we can be more like you, be more like Christ in our everyday lives. We thank you for that sacrifice. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God, as we continue in this moment to take of the cup and are reminded of the blood that was shed on the cross, God, we also want to remember what it means for us, the hope that it gives us, that what we experience in this world is not the final word, that even though this world has been broken, that it's imperfect, that there is sorrow and struggle, that we have something to look forward to, an eternity with you where everything is made new, where everything is perfect, where our sin doesn't hold us back. God, we thank you for that hope. We thank you that we have something to always look forward to, that we can live our lives out of gratitude, knowing that there is something to come that is better than what we have right now. But God, as we continue each day to live, I pray that we can do our best to allow heaven to be on earth, to bring your goodness and your love into everything that we do, God, as we look forward to a day where that's all that we get to experience. We thank you for all that you do, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. I tell you, this morning is going to be very, very special. We have a baptism after the sermon this morning. Bill Scott is going to be baptized. I'm so proud of him. And he wants his basic needs family to be right down here on the front when he does that. So if you're not already down here, when we start this song after the sermon this morning, just come on down and be down here. It'd be an encouragement to him. He wants to be able to look out and see the basic needs family that's been so much a part of this decision. When I say the prayer to start my sermon this morning, I'm going to be praying for Bill, not only because of his baptism this morning, but also Bill, as you probably know, has been battling cancer. And we want to keep praying. We're not giving up, and he's not giving up. But this has also made him think about his relationship with the Lord more seriously. And in that sense, it has been a blessing. So let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Father God, we would ask for your blessing on us this morning, that all of us would take seriously our relationship with you. We thank you for the relationship that we have with each other, that we can encourage each other and help each other to see more clearly our role in this life. We're thankful for the basic needs ministry and how it's helped so many people. And we're especially thankful this morning as we see the impact that it's had on Bill. We want to ask this morning, Father, for your intervention in his life, that you would take away the illness that has such a hold on him right now that causes him suffering. We're grateful that he's been able to undergo the treatment to this point with little side effects. And we pray, Father, that that might continue. But we do pray that you would work your miracle in his life. We do thank you for the miracle of forgiveness. We thank you that the price that was paid at the cross paid for our sins, that we don't have to pay the price for those sins for eternity. And we pray this morning as we witness Bill being baptized that we'll all remember the day of our baptism and we'll remember how you called us to holy living. And we ask this morning also for anyone who might be in attendance this morning that needs to make the same decision. We also pray for those who might be among us this morning that we've kind of forgotten why we did what we did. And we ask, Father, that what they witnessed this morning will remind them of the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and that how we live our life daily telling that story. And we ask, Father, you'll give us the strength and the courage to do it. No matter what we face, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start this morning by reviewing what we've been studying together. I feel like it's been a while since I've been able to do this. So I want to share something with you this morning. As you know, if you've been paying any attention to what I've been sharing with you, there are six principles that I've been sharing with you about starting over better than normal. And we're going through each of those six principles. Well, I kind of got caught. You see, there's a seventh principle that I haven't shared with you yet. But I didn't want to share it yet because I thought it might scare you if I added another one. So I'm saving it to the end. But there have been some churches where I've been preaching on Wednesday nights for the last few weeks, and they have asked me to share this material with them, at least the outline of the material. And I have seven principles in it, not six. And somehow word got back to somebody at Graham Street that, hey, why is it when you preach it somewhere else, there are seven principles, and there are only six principles at Graham Street? Now, my first answer was, it's because Graham Street is so good, they only need six, you know. Those other churches, they need seven. But the truth is, I was kind of saving number seven till a little bit later, and you'll see why in just a moment. Let me review them with you. Number one, remember now, this is about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and how they had to go back and start over in Jerusalem. And the same principles apply to us of starting over after COVID, okay? So that's the idea behind it. They made a commitment and began a great work. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. They saw they needed to rebuild those walls, and they made a commitment to do it, and they started that work. We need to see what we need to do and how we need to do it, and we need to jump in and get going on it. Number two, they believed God would give them success as they work together. We need to believe that God will give us success to do what we need to do to be the church that He has called us to be. They believed God would give them the success in rebuilding those walls. We need to believe that God will give us success. Number three, they worked together, but they divided up the work. Now, if you look in chapter 3, you've got all these words, all these times that it uses the word next. Next to that family, next to that hole in the wall, next to this section of property, so forth. That word next is saying that they made sure that there were no gaps in the rebuilding of the wall, but no one was in isolation. So you have all of these principles of rebuilding the wall, of working together, but dividing up the work. Everybody has something to do. Everyone in the church has something to do. And yet no one should be in isolation. Number four, they all worked with all of their heart. They worked with all of their heart. And that's what we're going to talk about more this morning. It says in chapter 4, verse 6, that the wall reached half of its height in record time because they all had a heart to work. Number five, they protected and encouraged each other as they worked together. You know the story of Nehemiah in chapter 4. They stopped just ridiculing them and saying negative things about them and so forth. The enemy began to actually physically attack them. And to protect themselves, they had to guard each other. They had to support and encourage each other to keep the work going. In fact, they would work with one hand while they held a weapon in the other. They would have a guard detail looking after a group of people as they work together. In the church, we need to protect and support and encourage one another as we work together in the family of God. Number six, they kept praying and completed the work on the wall in 52 days. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Even the enemies of the Jewish people knew that this was a miracle, that God had to get the credit for this. And they celebrated their success together. And we need to realize that God will give us success, but as we have success, we need to celebrate together. In fact, every Sunday morning should be a celebration. Every time we get back together after a week of fighting the war out there with Satan, we need to get in here and we need to celebrate together. We'll talk about that later. Number seven, and this is a new one, but it's shows that we have to repeat everything that we're doing over and over again. They committed themselves to the building, the foundation that was laid in God's word. Ezra gets up to preach in chapter 8. Of Nehemiah, and he begins reading the word of God, and everybody stands and listens as the word of God is being read, and they recommitted themselves to the word of God. And everything that we do, we need to recommit ourselves to the word of God. We need to understand what it's saying. And Nehemiah, Ezra read the word and gave the meaning of the word and how it applied, and then they committed themselves to do it. We need to recommit ourselves to God's word, understand it, and apply it to our lives, because we can never get away from that foundation. Okay, so this morning, we want to talk about principle number four. They worked with all of their hearts. This principle is so important. And the last time I preached on this, I introduced this principle by using the parable of the talent. And I said, you know, these guys had these talents, the five, the two, and the one. The master entrusted them with what they needed to do the job that he wanted them to do. And then he left on his journey, and he came back, and he held them accountable for how they used the talents that he had given them. And the five, remember, gained five more. The two gained two more. But the one, afraid that he would mess up or his master wouldn't be happy with him, he just buried his talent. And that did upset the master. And the principle of this is that we have been entrusted with the ability, with talents, with gifts by God to do great things for the kingdom of God. And the Lord will hold us accountable for how we use what we've been given to do the work of the Lord. And so that's how we introduced this when we talked about it before. So this morning, I want to give you six reasons why we work with all of our heart. Why would we work with all of our heart? You see, here's the problem with church work. Some people do church work because they have to. They think someday they're going to stand in judgment, and God is going to decide whether they have done enough or not. I do a lot of work with people that are older people. And I'm in that group now. And I'll tell you, one of the sad things I hear is to talk with a Christian who's been a Christian for most of their life, and now they're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, and they're still worried that they haven't done enough. They haven't worked enough to go to heaven. That's sad. That's sad. Where's grace in that? Where's love in that? You see, a misunderstanding about the work that we do in the Lord is we should be doing it with all of our heart, not because we have to, not because we think we're going to be lost if we don't, but it should be with all of our heart, with joy, with excitement, because that's what we want to do. So let me give you six reasons why this morning. Number one, out of appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's this wonderful passage, and we can't emphasize it enough. Verses 8 and 9. We are not saved by our works, folks. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God does not want us to think that we're going to be saved because we do enough. You can't do enough to begin with. You can't work your way into your salvation by what works you have to prove that you're a disciple of Christ. The work has been done at the cross. But here's an oddity about this verse. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now think about that. Why, right after emphasizing that we're saved by grace, not of works, we're saved by grace, would Paul turn right around and say, but we are God's workmanship created to do good works? Why? Because they're connected together. I work hard with all of my heart because I appreciate the fact that I'm saved by grace. I don't work to be saved by earning my way through my works. I work hard because I have been saved by Jesus' grace. By God's grace through Jesus, I am saved. You see the difference? You see the difference? I mean, we think about it. Which would make God happier? For you to work because you think you can do enough to earn your salvation, or you work because you appreciate the fact that He loved you so much that He saved you? I want my kids, when they were younger, to do what Dad wanted them to do because I love them. Not because they were afraid they were going to get a whipping if they didn't. Don't you think it makes a difference to God? Number two, because of our love for each other. Because we love other people. Wes read it this morning, Matthew chapter 22, verses 32 through 34 through 40. And if I'm not exactly right on that, it won't hurt you to read the extra verse, okay? All right, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our being. And then it says the second commandment is like unto it. The second is just as important. These are the two greatest commandments, Jesus said. In fact, He said all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands, loving God and loving others. And if the second is like the first, then the second demands the same amount of heart in our love for others as we have love for God. Loving others. And one of the reasons why I work in the church with all of my heart is because I love with all of my heart. I love God with all of my heart. I love other people with all of my heart. That should be why I work. That should be why it's exciting for me to work. That's why the people in basic needs work so hard. It's because they love God and they love other people. I'll tell you, some of the people that they help are not always nice. Some of them come in and they think they're entitled to just demand what they should get. And they're so sweet. I mean, it's just, you know, I watch Deborah and I watch Pam and all of you. I watch you work with these people that come in, and sometimes I think, how do they keep their patience with these people? I mean, what is the deal here? Why do they, when they're seeking help, come in and think that they can make demands on these people to do? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But they keep loving them and they keep being kind and gentle. And I think, wow, is that what it means to love God with all of your being and to love everyone else in the same way? Is that what it means? I think it is. Why do we work? Because of the greatest commandments. Number three, you work hard because you want to please someone. My dad was a rough taskmaster. I've told you this before. If you've listened to me talk about my dad, you're bound to heard some of this sometime or another. Because I loved my dad. I thought it was one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. He lived up to what he believed in. My dad worked nights most of my childhood. He finally got a day job when I was leaving home. And he never did figure out how to sleep in the daytime. And a lot of times he was grouchy because he hadn't slept. And a lot of times my experience with my dad, until I got a chance to be with him alone and just spend some time with him, was this fleeting moment when he would come in as I was on my way out and he'd leave me a list of chores. And then I would be coming back in as he was going off to work and he was checking on whether I got done the list of chores. Now, if that's the only relationship I had with my dad, that'd probably be a bad history. But on those times when we got to be together, I found there was so much more to my dad. And I loved him, and he loved me, and I knew that. And because of that, those chores weren't quite so bad. It wasn't so bad that my dad left me a list of chores to do during the day, and that he would check on me to see whether I had done my chores at the end of the day. You see, that went so much better because I wanted to please him. Because I loved him and I knew he loved me. He was somebody I wanted to please. I wanted him to be proud of me that I had checked off everything on the list come the end of the day. I don't know if this is important to you or not, but it's important to me, not because I feel like I'm earning my salvation, but I want to do my work and I want to do it well, and I want God, my Father, to be pleased with me. I want to get to the end and be able to hear the Lord say to me, "Enter in, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest that's been prepared for you." I look forward to that. And that's part of the reason why I work with all of my heart. Number four, it's because we want to bring glory. Matthew chapter 5 talks about us being salt and being light. Both are so influential. We can't even begin to imagine how much influence those two things have. But if you could go back in the time period when this was said, when Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount, and how important salt and light were in that world, we would be so much more impressed with the influence that both of those things have on the world that they lived in. And yet, we're not salt and light so that we can do it for our glory. It's not so that we can run around and brag about being salt and light. The reason why we're salt and light is to bring glory to God. Jesus said, "Let people see your good works so that they may glorify the Father in heaven." That's why we do good works, not to get glory for it. Look, there's a lot of good things that happen by this church. This church has a good impact in our community. We make a difference in this community. We touch people's lives by doing good works. But it's not so that we get glory for it. It's so that God gets glory for it. It's to bring glory to Him. Number five, because of the important impact it has. I've been so impressed as I've been studying the book of Revelation in the last few months. And incidentally, if you didn't catch Hubert's class this morning, Hubert had an excellent introduction to the book of Revelation that he's going to teach this fall. Am I right on that, Hubert? This in the fall, right? Okay. And so he's going to teach that. So we're excited about him going to teach that class. But this Revelation 14:13 so impresses me the more I study this. It says that we have rest for our labor. And that's something we so long for. If you don't labor, you don't deserve to rest. But we're promised rest for our labor. Now, yesterday, Vicky worked me really hard. And it was hot. And she worked right there alongside of me. But boy, we were sorting out stuff in the storage shed. And we've got everybody's stuff in there. I mean, we've got our kids have left stuff behind that I don't know how we've accumulated that much stuff. I've got my parents' stuff when we moved them from Arkansas to Stephenville. We've got stuff in there from people that I don't even know who we're keeping stuff for. I don't know where this stuff came from. And Vicky's helping me move boxes to this side and others over to this side. And some goes up in the attic part of the storage shed and all of this. And I mean, I was just drenched in sweat and I was working so hard. And I was ready to rest. The harder you work, the more you appreciate rest. And it says in Revelation 14, 13, that the Spirit says to us that have labored, those have worked, that rest is coming. Rest is going to come. But it says something after that that is so impressive. And their works will follow them. Your works make an impact. Someday we're going to get to rest, but our works don't rest. Our works not only follow us to the throne of God, but our works follow in those that we leave behind. You work hard in this life, and the promise is it's going to continue to impact people for good long after you're gone. Two memorial services that I've been so impacted by this year. Bruce Caraway and Sherilyn Savine. I want to ask you, have they left something behind? You know, it's not just that they have passed from this life to the next and their works follow them to heaven. Their works follow them here as well. The impact that our work makes on this world is eternal. It will last forever. When you do your work for the glory of God through the church, it never ends. That impact continues, and that should be motivation for you to do it. Number six, you're going to have to follow me on this one, and you're going to have to do some study on your own, because I don't have time to cover five chapters in 2 Corinthians this morning. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, it says that God has put in us, as we're clay jars, He has put a treasure in us. Now, if you just read chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, you may get the impression that what it's talking about is the gospel story. That God has put within us that gospel story in earthen vessels and is a treasure. Now, I want you to think about something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Whatever it is you treasure, that's what your heart is going to treasure. So if it's money, your heart's going to want money. If it's someone you love, that's where your heart's going to be. Whatever. What Jesus is saying is you should seek the kingdom of God with all your heart. And that's going to be your treasure. And the kingdom of God is your treasure, then that's where your heart's going to be. And you won't have to have a preacher preaching to you on Sunday morning and, hey, church, we got to work, because you're going to just automatically going to work. You're going to work for the kingdom of God because that's going to be your treasure. That's going to be your heart. But what I would recommend to you is you back up earlier in the book of 2 Corinthians and you follow what he's saying all the way through. What he says is in chapter 1 that God has put within us something that helps us to be what God has called us to be. And that's the Holy Spirit. That when we become Christians, and Bill, as you're baptized into Jesus today, the Holy Spirit comes into you to help you live your life for Christ. And it says in chapter 3 that the Holy Spirit helps us to become like Christ. You can't do that by yourself. The wickedness, the evilness of the temptation that we have in our life to live self-centered lives is too strong for us to become Christ-like by ourselves. We need help. And the Holy Spirit is put within us to help us to become more and more like Christ, to be true disciples of Jesus. And then it says in chapter 4 that we have within us as these earthen vessels, these clay jars, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the gospel story, the good news of Jesus Christ, lives in us through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And someday, we're going to die. 2 Corinthians 5. Someday, we're going to put off this earthly tent. This clay jar is going to be burst. It's going to be over with as far as this body is concerned. But the Spirit's going to live on. And there's going to be a great resurrection. And it's going to be prompted by the return of the Lord and the Holy Spirit regenerating us. And we're going to rise from the dead. And we're going to stand in judgment before God with Jesus Christ as our judge. And we're going to give an account for the things that we've done in our life, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But then he says something else. In the moment, if it stopped there, in verses 10 and 11, if it just stopped there, and the last thing was that someday we're going to stand in judgment, I would think, okay, I don't want to stand before God and have to say, I wasted my time. I didn't work for you like I should. I wouldn't want to have to stand before God and answer for my good and for my bad, for fear that the bad would outweigh the good. That might be where I would leave that, but it doesn't stop there. It says, but we are compelled by the love of Christ. Not the fear of Christ. Not the fear of judgment. We are compelled by the love of Christ. I don't think I could live my life with the right motivation if I didn't have the treasure of the Holy Spirit within me. This self-centered, foolish, earthly mindset of mine would keep going back to earning my salvation and keep going back to being afraid of standing in judgment of God. I wouldn't live my life in hope. I wouldn't live my life in joy. I wouldn't live my life in excitement to do good things for Jesus if it weren't for the fact that I had the help of the Holy Spirit inside of me, reminding me of the great treasure I have. The Holy Spirit reminds me of the treasure. Okay, that may be too complicated, okay? Let me break it down a lot simpler. You ever given a kid a chance to shop for one toy? You ever done that? Now, I'll warn you, you're asking for trouble. See, you think if you go in and you say one toy, you've solved a lot of problems. They won't be asking for 15. There's just one. Here's the problem. You go into a toy store, and there are hundreds, thousands of toys for them to choose from. And your little shopping spree, this is granddad speaking, okay? Granddad realizes that I take little Archie in, and you get one thing. Man, this has turned into an all-day thing. Because every toy has to be looked at and analyzed, and because they're going to have to make one choice. You finally make that one choice. You go and you pay for it, and you think, whew, boy, that turned out to be more than I thought it would be. But you watch your little grandson hold that toy like it's the greatest treasure he's ever had in his life. And about the time it comes bedtime and we're getting them settled down, and they reach over and they say, thank you. I love you. And it makes it worth it, doesn't it? You've been given a treasure, folks. If you don't realize this, please let me talk to you about it. You've been given a treasure. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you, and because the Holy Spirit has come to live in you, if you've been baptized into Christ in faith, you've been entered into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been given new life through the Holy Spirit, and you have a treasure inside of you. And you need to hop up in the lap of the Father, and you need to give him a big hug and kiss him on the cheek and say, thank you for the treasure you got me. I love you. We shouldn't have to be told to work hard with all of our hearts. The treasure that we have should motivate us to want to do more and more and more for what God has done for us. Amen? If it's morning, you need to make a commitment to that. We'd love to help you. If you need someone to pray for you this morning, we'd love to help you with that. If you need to be baptized this morning, we'd love to help you with that. But the greatest thing you could do this morning is to come to realize the treasure that you have through Jesus. Would you lead us in songs? Bill?
Would you be standing, please? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, and I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away and I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ, he died for me, and he took away my sin. I will live with him for eternity. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Did the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord. Please be seated.
question to ask you. This is the most important question in all of your life that you'll answer. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
And God bless you for that. He died for your sins.
Yes, He did.
The price was paid for your sins at the cross. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to receive that blessing of the forgiveness of sins that He's offered you by His grace. And you're going to rise to walk in newness of life. All right? Turn this way.
If you would be standing for our closing song, and then we'll have a dismissal by one of our shepherds. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with His great might. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is a God that we should know, who speaks from His inspired word. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find. For God alone does understand. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that He from sin might set man free, and evermore with Him could live. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Amen. Please be seated.
I want to thank everybody for being here. Craig, thanks for the songs today. David can't hear me, but we appreciate the lesson he gave on teamwork today, and we appreciate that. Visitors, welcome. Thank you for being with us. If you haven't noticed, inside, get one inside the little bulletin. There's a QR code you can scan to help connect with us and to help us get contact information to you and figure out how to we can serve you and how we can help you. As Wes announced earlier, there's lots of youth events this week, so be patient, be attentive to those things, and participate in those as you can. We also know Wednesday night there's a lot of service events we can take care of and help with in our church community, so be with that. And just understand there's lots of opportunities to serve our larger Stephenville community and different ways, basic needs, celebrate recovery, just a number of things. And, you know, there's what we're currently doing may not be the only things we can do. There may be other things we can start working on also, so help us do that. Just wanted to remind y'all, as David said, teamwork, you know, remembering how to treat others as we would treat God. That's such an important lesson for us to do, treating others as we would have them treat us. So just remember those things. I want to remember Bill as he starts his new life in Christ. And remember that also besides Bill, there's still lots of others we have that are fighting cancer and other medical ailments. Need to continue to remember them in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. And then when we get done, also remember the thing across the meat luncheon across the street. But greet Bill down here as he comes out. Dear Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for the strength and the wisdom you give us to be able to serve you and serve in this community. Help us to do the work you'd have us to do. Thank you for our staff. Thank you for our ministers. Thank you for all the teachers and other members that do work in this location. Dear Father, thank you for things you give us. Thank you for the opportunities that we can do this week to build each other up and to serve others in the community. Dear Father, thank you for everything you give us. Help us to go through this week. Bless Bill and his new life. Bless those others of us that have illnesses that need to be treated with doctors and those sorts of things. Help us to comfort those that need comforting. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.